Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
But it's amazing how you ask somebody to take a deep breath when they're in front of you, and instantly they're all up into the chest or up into the neck. Everybody assumes that while I'm breathing, therefore my diaphragm is working fully. And it turns out it isn't.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Balancing Acts. In this conversation, I talk to Be Activated practitioner, Stephen Tomlinson. Perfect. Hello, I'm Steve Whiteley and welcome to Balancing Acts, a series of conversations with an array of creatives. We talk about their journey, the struggles they faced whilst progressing their career, strategies they use to unlock their creativity, how they balance their career with their personal lives, what impact this has had on their mental health, and lots more. Stephen has spent over 13 years training in a wide range of physical therapy, injury assessment, exercise rehabilitation, and sports performance improvement techniques. He's one of the very few people in the UK who is fully trained in the neuromuscular activation technique known as Be Activated. Stephen has used this technique extensively on elite sports teams, professionals, and individuals to treat injury and revolutionize performance, both physically and mentally. Stephen is a former national medalist swimmer and single-figure handicap golfer, and he currently works with Olympians, Paralympians, PGA Tour golfers, world record holders, world champions, and me. I guess I kind of fall into the latter category. So yeah, so Stephen and I started working together because we're going to talk about this in the conversation we have, but I suffered from back injuries for quite a long time, and having seen loads of different people, it would be very stop and start in terms of the rehabilitation and feeling better for a few weeks at a time, and then would go back into the same sort of patterns. And it sort of was very disruptive in terms of me wanting to do different challenges. You know, I've talked about on the podcast before how I like to do triathlons and I've done Thai boxing and all these different things, which is partly because I like the challenge, but it's also partly to do with my ADHD brain, which also ties into the work that Stephen does. Essentially, it's about reconnecting ourselves with the breath and breathing properly into our diaphragm. And as a result of that, we feel more grounded and we can kind of uncover cheat patterns that our body has created due to a lack of oxygen reaching certain parts of our bodies. And just using different muscles to make up for the lack of activation in certain other areas. So on the back of a recommendation, I started to see Stephen, and then that began the beginning of a very fascinating process, which ultimately has cured my back injury. And I have to say, as a result, I feel more grounded. I think I mentioned in a previous episode about my voice being lower, slightly more baritone, which I'm not putting on for effect, clearly. But that aside, yeah, it's difficult to describe, but we talk about it in this conversation. I wanted to bring Stephen on because I think what he's doing is fascinating and is new and innovative, and also is useful for anyone who is a performer of any sort, whether you're a comedian, an actor, or even just, you know, or even working behind the camera. You know, anyone that suffers from anxiety and stress at various times in their life are able to apply Stephen's method to get a sense of feeling more grounded and within your body. So without further ado, over to Stephen. Perfect. So yeah, I thought it was a good idea for us to have a conversation because, you know, we've been working together. Mm-hmm. And I came to you as sort of like this last port of call in a sense that I been having back issues for years, having done Thai boxing and boxing and all sorts of silly things. And I'd had a slip disc many years ago from an injury. And then I'd had a crack rib from Thai boxing. And I think also something similar from football. And I'd always gone to physio and it had worked temporarily. So I might have felt that the injury had healed for maybe a 4 to 6 week period or something like that. But as soon as then I got back into the sports and I went hard at it, it would reoccur. And, you know, I tried Pilates, all sorts of things. I mean, I think partly it might have been, you know, my issues. And I mean, this is something we can touch upon as well, because it's connected due to my ADHD like brain, not being consistent with, you know, some of the instructions that I've been told that I should do on a consistent basis. But that aside, I know you're sort of nodding your head, maybe thinking, well, I don't know if I agree with that, but we'll get onto that. But that aside, you came highly recommended on two fronts. One, as somebody that sort of is almost like, I'm not going to use the word sort of like healer, because that sort of has sort of different connotations, but a healer of sorts that has a track record of, I guess, injury rehabilitation, high success rate. And also as a side effect, maybe helping people who have the likes of ADHD and other maybe symptoms such as anxiety, et cetera, due to the work that you do that's connected with the breath and the body. So I'll shut up now. And do you want to sort of take the lead from there in terms of explaining the work that you and I have done together?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the work that I do, for anybody that doesn't know, is neuromuscular activation. It's a cheesy commercial title, if you like, is be activated. It's a completely holistic way of looking at the body, but from a physical therapy point of view. So it incorporates a lot of different techniques, from neural lymphatic reflex points to fascia, to soft tissue relief, but also looking at the way the mind affects the body and the body affects the mind. So it comes at it from both points of view. It's something that is pretty new. So in the terms of physical therapy, when you're looking at, you know, how many decades physio has been going, or even acupuncture, it's something that Doug discovered probably about 12 years ago. And there is no specific focus of it works on a bad back, which is initially what you came to me for. Or it works with anxiety, or it works with a sprained ankle. It's a way of looking at the body and helping you, the client, understand what happens, what is going on in their body, and what happened to cause those issues in the first place. And then rather than, although modern medicine is incredible as looking at the bad back, the shoulder, the anxiety, the stress, whatever the issue is, it's a fabulous plaster over the problem and can help repair the, as we'll discuss later, the cheat patterns. But it never really looks at why the body did it in the first place. And it all stems from breathing. And it's something that obviously when we met was not something you were doing entirely well.
Yeah, I mean, It's fascinating, because I've become so much more self-aware of my patterns of breathing since working with you. But it was fascinating to me how hard I found it to follow those instructions. And we can talk more about it, obviously, in more detail, but to breathe deeply into the diaphragm and belly. I noticed that I had a much more shallow, short breath. That was my natural shallow, short breath. And it was actually a concerted effort to try and almost reconfigure and reprogram my breathing to adopt the techniques that you've sort of explained.
Yes. And I think one of the big things is people that do yoga or do mindfulness or spend a lot of time focusing on meditating I breathe with my diaphragm. Well, the body is designed to breathe with the diaphragm and into the belly, and the lateral collateral, your ribs and your apical, you know, up into the neck, they're accessory breathing structures. But it's amazing how you ask somebody to take a deep breath when they're in front of you, and instantly they're all up into the chest or up into the neck. Everybody assumes that while I'm breathing, therefore my diaphragm is working fully. And it turns out it isn't.
What causes people to take when we're born, as babies, do we naturally breathe into our belly, or is it maybe due to a traumatic birth or some other kind of early experience, does that immediately change the pattern of breathing?
That's a great point. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm somebody that had a traumatic birth. I was breached. I had a number of other issues going on, and I'm somebody that I now know didn't breathe fully into my belly. For anybody that's got kids, they'll know they have massive bellies. They're always breathing into it. But yeah, even, you know, I get the impression we normally start to stop using the diaphragm as effectively about 6 or 7 years old. You've gone to school, you have teachers and homework and sat at a desk, and the diaphragm stops and the belly breathing stops being as effective as it should be. And we start breathing up into our chest. If you're breathing into your belly, the body is it's in your parasympathetic, I'm nice and relaxed. But as soon as you start breathing up into the chest, the body is in a stress state. It's in a fight, flight, or freeze. And whether that is because of how you came into this world or your environment and what caused that to happen. And it's something that people haven't learned, not necessarily to control, but they haven't learned to understand why it's happening.
And in terms of the people that you work with, I know obviously you work with a whole range from GB mm-hmm. Olympic athletes to professional golfers, but you also work with performers. So I know you've worked with actors as well who have come to you with specific issues. I'm interested to understand how has your techniques affected their approach to their craft, and what have they noticed in terms of differences since working with you? Because first thing that people are taught at acting school is, you know, breathe into the diaphragm. You know, it's a very yes. sort of, you know, very sort of theatrical darling phrase, which has been sort of somewhat mocked since coming to existence. But obviously there's a reason behind it. What have you noticed, or what's the feedback you've had from those types of people that you've worked with?
Well, it's the same with any of them, you know, from opera singer to a load of actors, student actors at Lambda, through to people on TV. It's when you drop the body into the parasympathetic breath, it just makes you more in tune with your own body. You're much calmer. You're much more in touch with the planet and your environment. So it's a lot of the time they're coming because of an issue, because of a back issue or because of a neck issue. And it's just such a surprise when the body starts to function correctly, how it changes for them, whether it makes them more in touch with their emotions. They're much, you know, that's somebody that will be much more nervous when they're going out on stage or behind a camera. All of a sudden they can just breathe into their belly and they're much calmer. And they come across much more powerful, if you like, when doing their craft.
Interesting. So what was it that led you to this approach? Because as you've touched upon, it's relatively new. It seems to be different from the traditional forms of physiotherapy. How did you come across it, and what led you to want to study it?
Well, I'd been doing soft tissue work and working on the body for probably 9 years, and okay. I had a neck issue, and the therapist heel myself was not working very well.
Okay.
So I went and I went to a physio just to have a look at my neck, and they knew some of this work and they did some of it on me, and I walked out of there feeling what the hell just happened.
Really?
I need to know more about this.
Yeah.
And the guy that discovered it, he generally only comes to the UK once a year to run training courses in it. And it was about 6 weeks after that he was due to come to the UK. And I got in touch. There'd been a cancellation on the course, and I had to be on that course. It had had such a profound effect in just a 1 hour session. Actually, I think it was a half hour session.
Was it one of those big life epiphany moments where you just, it was like a calling almost. Yeah.
It was absolutely incredible. And for somebody who was, you know, I'd done sport to quite a high level. I believed I knew my body. Of course I can breathe. I was a swimmer, but it's amazing when you take that deep first breath and you actually feel the change it has on the body. I just had to know more about it.
Yeah.
And the very next day when I finished the course, I stopped everything that I've been doing and I just started doing this work. It was that crazy and profound for me.
Wow. And we talked about, and I'll talk about from my personal experience as well, but you mentioned that up to a certain point in your life that you had been suffering from anxiety or and panic attacks and that type of thing. Once you got into this work, was that the game changer for you in terms of the those sort of elements subsiding?
It was everything. Originally, one of the things I was intrigued about is my traumatic birth. I was born with a heart condition.
Okay.
I had mitral regurgitation. I had surgery as a 5-week-old baby. So I was kind of screwed from the beginning. Yeah. But in the work that we do, that then becomes somebody that has a cheat pattern running in their body, whether that's a jaw or a shin or even adrenaline, which are the big causes for the stress, anxiety, chronic fatigue, ME, all of those conditions. And everything literally started to change that next day. You feel so much calmer because you can breathe into your belly. And it covered a lot of things. I was somebody that had struggled with migraines, and I hadn't had a single migraine since that very first session. So it's... Wow. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But once you've had a session and you get to feel what's going on in your own body, you start to understand so much more, and then you can kind of look after yourself as well better.
Yeah, I mean, I touched on before, you know, saying I was going to talk about my personal experiences, but once I started seeing you, I had the opposite where I had my first panic attack.
You did.
And I came back and was like, Stephen, what's going on here? Yeah, this is supposed to sort me out. But what you were saying to me is that because, you know, my body had been in a fight or flight mode for so long, it was now starting to become, I guess, more connected. And so I might well have had panic attacks in the past. It's just I wasn't aware of them. Whereas now my body becoming more sensitive and I was more aware of what was going on. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you were technically if you're living in a fight, flight or freeze state with the ADHD, the low motor tone kids, the everything that's running in the background of the body, it's amazing what you get used to. And as you start to drop out of that, some people can start to be more aware of the crazy things that are actually going on in their body, which is what I believe was happening to you.
Yeah. You mentioned cheat patterns. Do you want to expand upon that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the big things, if you consider the diaphragm as the fuse box to the body, and then the wiring runs from that to the rest of the muscles in the body, it has two priorities. Our sole purpose in life is to survive. And the way the body does that is if you don't breathe, you die. You breathe with your diaphragm. You're supposed to breathe up into your lateral collateral, your ribs next, and then up apical when you're running a marathon or you really need to get some extra air in. But the movement side of the body, you know, if you can't run away from your saber-toothed tiger, if you can't run away from the threat, then you die. So the body is designed to function in a particular way, starting with your psoas muscle, your hip flexor to lift your leg to start running. And your glutes, they're around the back, you know, the reciprocal muscles. So when your leg hits the floor, you drive yourself forward using the glutes. If the diaphragm isn't working effectively, your psoas, your hip flexor, and your glutes aren't working effectively either. And then the body says, well, as with the breathing, we have accessory structures to help the diaphragm. It starts to bring other muscles into the body. The first thing will be your quad around the front and your hamstring around the back. Then your shin, your tibialis anterior at the front, and your calf around the back. And it will then come up to the arm or it'll come up to the jaw. So you'll see people lifting weights while they're locking their jaw.
Yeah.
Just for chewing.
I've done that many a time.
And but there are cheat patterns that then cause injuries. So if you're a quad driver, you're a zone 2 driver, your quad is doing all of the work for you. You get groin strains, inguinal hernias, sacroiliac joint issues around the back. You'll get ACL and MCL and meniscus tears in the knee. If your shin's working too hard for you, you get shin splints, you get plantar fasciitis, you get medial arch issues, you get Achilles heel problems, calf tears, ankle sprains. And then if it's coming up the body, up to your arms, you're looking at tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, all of the rotator cuff issues around the shoulder. And if you're a jaw driver, it's coming up into, you know, you're looking at neck problems and prolapsed discs and up in the C-spine, up in your neck, and migraines and tinnitus. There are a huge range of injuries that come depending on what the cheat pattern is running in the background in your body.
What I found fascinating was you'd be working on one area of my body. So I think, you know, you're working, I remember at the base of the skull and prodding along, And I was like, oh, okay, so what's this for, the neck then? And then you're like, no, it's for the glutes. And that's what I found fascinating in terms of figuring out these cheat patterns. You're going to body parts that are connected to somewhere in a completely different area of the body to figure out those weaknesses.
Yeah, if you think the nervous system is the human body is an absolutely incredible thing, and when you're looking at Dr. Chapman's neurolymphatic reflex points from I think about 1913, where he did a map of the body, knowing where these points are, but it also correlates with we need to free tight tissue somewhere because that's what's limiting the issue elsewhere. You know, your tennis elbow or your golfer's elbow has actually got nothing to do with the elbow. It's because your lat muscle on that side isn't working effectively, normally stemming from an issue with the opposite hip. So it's a completely new way of looking at the body. And it is what Doug worked on for a number of years, looking at different therapies.
Douglas Heal, who founded this.
Yeah, this is Douglas Heal. His training is a physiotherapist. And he's somebody that just got fed up with seeing the same person for the same issue, whether it's every week or every few months. You know, it helped the cheat pattern work more effectively, or it gave somebody light relief. And yes, of course, right, sometimes it works, and there are incredible physios out there doing work. But he just started to look at the body a completely different way, and he tried lots of different things. And you know what. The work that we do, the activation work that we do, we work in a sequence. You don't go straight to the elbow or to the neck issue. You need to give the body an alternative so it can start to relax those issues wherever your injury is, which is why we start with the breathing. You start with the diaphragm, the psoas and the glutes. You give your body a foundation so that everything else can start to let go, which is what we did with you.
So for people wondering how this process works and thinking, okay, this... I'm not sure exactly what's going on. It sounds a bit vague. I essentially felt like I was being prodded, right? So I was like,
yes,
a slab of meat. I was being prodded. I think I said to you one session, I was like, this feeling is must be the closest feeling to what it's like being eaten alive by an animal, because your fingers are going to places that I've never really been touched before. And I mean that in a non-explicit way. You know, you're going to certain ligaments and joints that I've never sort of felt before.
Mm-hmm.
But they're right there, you know, we're talking about the sternum and sort of just underneath the rib cage.
Yeah.
Can you explain more about that process, how it works? And also, just for my own ego, can you clarify whether other people were in as much agony as I was on the treatment table?
Yes, 100% I can.
Okay, great. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. You did well. I mean, we didn't need to hug at the end or anything. You were all good. It was fun. So it's like, if you think that the body has shut you down to help you to survive, that's all it wants to do is survive. So fine.
Would that be relevant, say, for people who have suffered trauma? I know you talked about having a traumatic birth. Would that be relevant for people who had traumatic experiences throughout their life? So there might be specific moments where their body has shut down, and as a result, these injuries can occur and arise.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be, do you know what? If somebody has, they don't have, you know, a memory, or they don't have, oh, well, it started because of this. The more you start working with somebody, all of a sudden they're like, oh God, yeah, I remember when my back first started hurting, or I had a car accident when I was 12 years old. And all of a sudden things start coming back to people.
Right.
But the body doesn't know what a computer is. It doesn't know what a microphone is. It just wants to breathe and move. And if the owner, your brain, says, well, seems to be functioning quite well without a diaphragm working effectively, or without your lat muscle working effectively, let's just switch it off, shall we? Let's just make sure he doesn't use it again. And the body starts to stick tissue over the top of it, and you get nutty, you know, when you get knots in muscles and it's all tight fascia, and there's a lot of crazy things going on in the body. And you've seen me, I'm not using elbows. I'm not using knees at all. It is generally one finger or a thumb. And when you start to wake things up, the body's put it in place for a reason, and it wants to fight. It wants to keep that in place. So it can cause mild discomfort while doing some of the techniques. Yes.
Mild is putting it mildly.
Yes.
But I will say this, having had back pain for however many years. Like I said, I think on and off for 15 years, my back pain is gone. And I said to you just before we started recording, I had my first jiu-jitsu class in about 4 months because, you know, I think I had a bulged disc or something in the summer and I just completely stopped. And what would tend to happen before, whether I was doing that or other very strenuous exercise, is that after I would feel it a little bit, but after in the next couple of days, the back would start playing up and I'd be in discomfort. And that would be accelerated when I'd be sitting down for hours at a time writing at my desk.
Yeah.
And one, that pain is gone now, you know, after doing such sort of the likes of jiu-jitsu. But two, also when I'm sitting down writing, I'd always have to shuffle around and move positions, et cetera. And now that doesn't seem to be there, which is...
Fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It almost feels like I never had it, you know?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is you'll have somebody come in with four or five different injuries.
Right.
You'll have a session with them. They'll go away. They'll come back the second session. They'll say, well, my arm still hurts. How's everything else? Well, it's my arm. I came to see you because of my arm. Yeah. And it's amazing how they forget the four other things that they came in with because the body says, well, don't need it anymore. And it's almost like it wipes it from the memory. And when you start pointing things out, they're going, oh God, yeah, I did come in with that, didn't I?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I did that because I said about the
hip. You did?
Yeah. And you said, yeah, but it was the back, wasn't it? I said, yeah, but what about my hip?
It is. And it's
ungrateful bastard.
Brilliant. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you say about you know, sitting in front of the computer. I'm like, well, I get back pain because I sit all day. And yeah, absolutely, it can be because of that. But we also did a little bit of work on your visual field as well. So what you actually look at can make your body weak. So it could be that we do a muscle test where you're sat in front of your computer and it turns out that 2.5 feet in front of your face, if you're looking at a point there, makes your body weak. I'm assuming you remember that session. You haven't forgotten.
I do. No, I know you. Right now, my face is one of confusion. The reason why is that I still fully don't understand that. Can you explain in a bit more detail the process of how that works? And as a result, what an individual will gain once they've gone through doing this?
Yeah, well, if you imagine that the body is, everything in our environment affects on our body. And that's whether what we touch, the sport that we do, the way we sit, or even what we look at, or even what we think about.
Yeah.
You know, you remember the arm test where we get you to think about something positive.
Yeah.
And you're normally stronger than the baseline test, but we get you to think about a stressful situation or somebody that stresses you out.
So just to explain, the arm test is where I put my arm out and then you will tell me to look somewhere in the distance.
Yeah. So the baseline test is arm out to the side. Can you keep your arm in the air? It's just a, you know, a bit of a test. Are you strong enough to hold your own arm up? I'm not looking to break you. It's just, is there any load that you can take, which, you know, you're a strong guy. And I push it down towards the ground.
Yep. Yep.
You know, you're a strong guy. It's a very easy baseline test with you. And then somebody can think about something positive or negative. You can look into the distance. You can look up close. And what we're looking for are points of your focus in your visual fields that all of a sudden your arm drops to the ground. You know, it makes your body weak. Mm-hmm. And not always, excuse me, but a lot of the time it will be linked to something that's going on in your life. So if it's, you know, you look down towards the ground and you've got three young kids that really stress you out, or it could be that it's looking at a computer, or I get a bad back when I'm in the car, and it turns out, well, when you look into the distance to see where you're, you know, where you're driving your car, that your bad back kicks in. Yes, of course it can be down to, you know, the fact you ran a marathon before you drove the car, or it can be that your seat isn't right for you, or there is an impinged nerve in your back that is exacerbated by sitting down. But it's another way of looking at what might be causing that in the first place.
Perfect. Hello, sorry to interrupt in the middle of this insightful conversation, which I'm enjoying, I'm sure, just as much as you are. But I need to give you guys a little reminder. If you like this conversation, this episode, if you like balancing acts in general, then please do subscribe to us, rate and review us, because it makes the world of difference. And the more reviews we get, the more rates we get, the more people can discover the podcast and we can make it go viral, whatever that means. Okay, back to the chat. And what results have you seen, let's say a before and after of people that have come and seen you and you have seen perhaps where there are issues in their visual fields. How has that had an impact on their life?
Well, if you're looking at it from a very basic sporting point of view, looking at, say, a golfer, you will have a left-hand dog leg or a right-hand dog leg, where a hole bends to the left, bends to the right, or you'll have a hole where there's a pond in front of them or something like that. And they will always say, oh, I can't play left-hand dog legs, or, yeah, I'm terrible over water. It shouldn't affect their golf at all as to how they are playing a hole or how they're swinging the club. But it's amazing that when your eyes look at something, that it stops the body functioning correctly. Yeah. So we've had somebody that was terrible at short chips, really, really good golfer. I think he's probably a three now, but stood on the side of a green doing chipping. He would duff the ball across the green. He would really struggle with it, but somebody who's very, very good. When he's under pressure in a tournament, it would get worse. So we sometimes do activation in situ. So he stood on the side of the green with a pitching wedge in his hand, and he's playing the shot and showing me what's going on. And we start the activation process. We literally run through the work that we've done on the table really quickly, and we're looking for something that switches that back off. And there's, I think I've got some videos on social media of a before and after of all of a sudden he's able to chip. He's able to breathe into his belly, fire his glutes to help him stand there, and he can just play the shot. So it's about getting the body to functioning, whatever your scenario is, but help it do it more effectively.
And are you finding with other athletes that you're working with, it's having a positive impact on their overall performance?
Yeah, I mean, with everybody sees some sort of benefit in the work, and then it depends how far they want to go with it. So whether it's golf, whether it's, it's swimming, which is a tough sport in itself, because you're not able to breathe freely and independently of movement. You're holding your breath underwater, and you're controlled by whether your face is in the water or not. To runners, it really does have a positive effect on everybody that this work is, that take the work seriously, almost like, and embrace it and make it part of their life, just like stretching or working out.
Yeah, because you now, once we do these sort of the sessions with you, which average on about six or so, you then give the tools for the likes of me to go away and do the work that we've done together on myself.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that, it's not, you can't, if you're going for a physio and you can't really click your own back, not very successfully, or give yourself ultrasound or whatever it is that you need. But one of the great things about this is I don't want to keep seeing somebody for the rest of my life. Yeah. I'm not doing a good job if that's the case. We teach people to do their own self-activations. So if they're having the bad day, or they're having the stressful day, or their anxiety's kicking in, or whatever it is, they can sit down, they can do the self-activations, they can drop their body back into the parasympathetic and start looking after themselves. There are athletes, whatever their sport, that I do work with continuously, because they're loading their bodies very differently to just you or I, who's, your standard day job, or you're sat behind a desk.
Yeah.
And there are always more things we can do with somebody, but it's understanding, the person came in for an issue. Is that issue now not there? Great. You can leave, or what else do you want to do? Do you want to see what else your body's capable of? So it's there's a real difference between where somebody wants to go with the work.
So let's say you and I, we've done six sessions together. Let's say I turn around to you and say, right, Stephen, I want to become a pro MMA fighter, or I want to. I don't know why you're smiling. I mean, you don't think I'd be a pro.
I think it'd be quite good, actually. It'd be quite dangerous.
Let's say I want to be a pro MMA fighter, or I want to, which I would like to do an Ironman. What would be the next level then of working together? What would you do to elevate what you've already done with those initial six sessions? What would be the next stage of that to take the body to the next level in terms of performance and durability?
We would start with, with basic movements. One of the things you'll see people in their gym, and they're lifting their arm weights, and they're using all of their cheat patterns to do their work.
Yeah.
So we would assess you on, just on the table at first, or in a bungee, to see how you do a bridge, how your body actually functions. Do you lock your jaw when you're just doing a very basic squat without any weight?
Yeah.
And we look at kind of sequencing your body so that you're able to breathe, you're able to squat and do everything the way the body was originally designed to.
Okay.
we're then able to train the body up just with basic movements. You know, you don't need weights, whether we're looking at lunges or press ups or sidearm raises. It's just anything to get your body sequencing much better.
Okay.
We would then look at how you run. Well, you know, I really struggle to breathe when I'm running. Okay, well then why don't we get you on a treadmill and we'll activate you while you're actually running. We'll see what the issue is, where the limitations are in the sport that you do, and switch the body onto that. And then it's just like being trained. You know, if you're training under a coach, we just get involved as part of that process.
And as this is a relatively new approach to injury rehabilitation,
yeah,
have you been met with cynicism? You know, because you're now working with a lot of professional athletes and they've got their own teams of physios and, mm-hmm. and so forth. Was there any initial wall of resistance when you had conversation with these guys, say, look, I think I can really help you out here?
I've been very, very lucky in the way that I've done the work, where I've worked with everyday people first. It's all of a sudden, it's really unique, because a lot of the people that I see, I'd say 90% of the people that I see have come from a referral. Somebody has said, oh, you need to go and see this guy because I saw him because of this.
Which is what happened with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's the great way of business.
Yeah. Word of
mouth. It is. And, you know, when talking to some people, I've absolutely had that. Oh, I don't think that's quite for me. Okay, great. That's absolutely fine. If what you've got is working for you, go for it, because you know, I'm just trying to help somebody to get as good as they can be. If they feel they're already as good as they can be, then I'd just be wasting our time.
Yeah.
But it's the people that are open to something. And, you know, as you learned with the arm test, it's something you can show somebody very, very quickly what might not be working as well for their body as they believe. Because if they didn't know there was something wrong with it, you know, one of the great lines we use is you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. If all of a sudden I'm strongest when I'm locking my stomach muscles and I'm braced, and then all of a sudden we can push them over like a feather.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, how the hell does that work? And it's just about opening a conversation and showing somebody what they're not aware of.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, there was moments when we were doing the visual field exercise, you know, I'd just be like cracking up laughing because it's just like, this is so bizarre. This is bizarre. I was like, he's clearly cheating. He's not pushing as hard the second time. That's what it is. It's got nothing to do with this being a unique treatment.
But, yeah, and it feels like that, doesn't it? And
that's, you know, what it feels like. Yeah, it does.
When I first had it done to me, I had a lady physio. You know, I'm 6'4". I was, you know, late 30s, early 40s when I was first treated. And there's a lady who's the politest way to put it, a lady who's been a physio for a long time, asking me to lock my stomach muscles while she tries to turn me. And I'm thinking, my God, she's gonna pop a hip while she's doing this. And all of a sudden I'm spinning around the room and thinking, what the hell is going on here? And it's just amazing how when somebody points out a weakness to you, you think, no, they can't be there. It's not right. It's a trick.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. What impact then did it have on your, I guess, personal life and mental health? I know you touched upon, you know, previously having panic attacks and anxiety. Can you look back at your life as a before and after? I don't mean professionally, but once you encountered this whole way of being, being activated, shall we say?
Yeah.
Can you look back at it and say, right, yeah, I can clearly see a before and after in terms of your mode of being?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, one of the biggest things, I'm somebody that I now understand why it happened, but I'm somebody that struggled with migraines, and not, oh yeah, you've got a bad headache. I mean, I would get numbness through my body. I would get vomiting. I would get dizziness. It's something that I lived with, and I was known for having horrific migraines in my street as a kid growing up.
Wow.
And it's after the very first session that I had, when I went on the training course 6 weeks after my first session, after that date, I haven't had a single migraine since. You know, the heart condition that I had as a baby, it's something that, yes, it's absolutely, it's not curable. We don't cure people's hearts, but it's something where the diaphragm has a direct, a fascia and a nerve connection to the heart. And if the diaphragm isn't working, it puts extra load around the heart. It kind of squeezes it. And the issue that I had is one of my valves wouldn't close properly. And it's something I got checked. I get checked every single year with a cardiologist. They keep an eye on it. And when the gap in the valve, if you treat it like barn doors that don't close properly in the middle, once that gap is too big, then you look at a valve replacement. It's something Arnold Schwarzenegger's had or Roger Black has had. But after the treatment, I then went in for my scan the next year. And the consultant kind of, oh, sorry, I've got the wrong person's details. And he kind of left the room and then came back. He went, no, these are your details. He said, it's changed. He said, the gap has massively reduced. It's almost back to normal. What the hell? And then we had this lovely long conversation about what I'd been doing. And unfortunately, COVID kicked in because I wasn't going to be going in and showing him exactly what we do to help him understand, because it might help other people.
Yeah.
So for me, and I think if you go and have a treatment and it doesn't really change your life, then it's not really for you. You say, oh, well, I had it, but it didn't really help me.
Yeah.
But because I had such an incredible effect from the treatment, it gives me so much confidence to do this and to cause people, mild discomfort and the odd leaky eye, because I know how it works.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what stands, isn't it? The enjoyment you get out of giving people mild discomfort.
It is. I mean, people say that maybe I should look at Hitman or Torturer or something. But it's
that's a true calling.
It's great fun. It is. It really is. I enjoy hurting people. I can't deny.
It's funny because after each session, my girlfriend sort of touched base and she's been like, she'll message me and how was it? And I was like, amazing, but so painful. I think the more painful it got, the better it got.
And the number of people that that lying on the bed with my thumb buried deep into their soul and they're like, why the hell am I paying you for this? It hurts so much and I'm still coming back. Why are you tricking me like this?
I genuinely asked myself that a few times. It's like, what madness is this?
Everybody's into S&M, they just didn't know.
Yeah, no, clearly you brought something out of me. So outside of be activated, what do you do to unwind? I know you're a keen golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you do to unwind or find a sense of balance in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time outside as much as I can. I mean, my wife and I are always going for country walks, 6, 7, 8, 9 miles, 2 or 3 times a week, just right. to get out. It's good for you. It's healthy. It's been amongst the trees. So for me, it's escaping everything. I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to technology. I'm a pen and paper guy. I would much rather do that. And cycling as well. We're very lucky living in Hampshire and living in the countryside is being able to get out and enjoy that. So for me, that's massive, being able to do that.
Yeah. And do you find that because you're so passionate about your work, are you sort of compelled to want to work as much as possible because you've stumbled across this thing? You're like, this is a game changer and it can help so many people. How does that work in terms of the push and pull with just wanting to get that message out there?
I'm an absolute nightmare. I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to it. I speak to somebody about it. We were in a shop yesterday talking to somebody and she's walking with a little bit of a limp and I'm like, don't do it. Just stop talking about it. Just, you're in a shop, switch off. And it's one of those things where I guess every therapist has it. You want to help people.
Yeah.
I could talk about what I do and do what I do every hour of the day. It's so awesome. It's not something I ever get bored of. I'll quite happily treat anybody. And yes, you have to switch off. You have to force yourself to put the work down and, whether it's research, whether it's practicing, a huge number of different things to try and get better at what I do. So yes, I am terrible or can be terrible at that and having to force myself to put work down.
Were you like that prior to discovering Be Activated when you were working as a physio? Were you as passionate about the work then as you are now?
Well, I'm clear that I wasn't a physio, not trained as a physio at all, as a soft tissue therapist. But everything I've always done, that would be my downfall, is I would want to be as at everything I do. I'd want to be as
good as possible,
as good as possible at it. You know, it's
like the obsessive, that obsessive element almost. Yeah.
What else yeah. can I learn? What else?
Well, because how else would you have found this if you didn't have that mindset, right? You're always trying to look for the what's the next thing? What's the best thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it's something that you and I have discussed about your own background, about wanting to try so many different things and keep learning and keep doing different things. It's, you know, it's part of our nature to learn.
Yeah. I think it's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, like sometimes I envy people who are just sort of very content to just stay in their lane and, you know, be happy with their lot. And that's it.
Yes. Yeah.
And no, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course there isn't. Of course there isn't. And, you know, it takes all different sorts of people to help this world rotate. But it's, I mean, one of the things that, as you and I spoke about, you're trying to teach the person to be able to find the breath, to find their calm, to get themselves out of the stress state. And as soon as you're doing something that is, you know, this is stressful because I'm reading up on stuff at 7:30 at night. I'm not practicing what I'm preaching.
Right. That's interesting. So you're aware of that and then you pull yourself back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talking about reading, it's a nice segue, brings me on to my next question. Are there any books that you've read over the course of time, your time on this planet, mm-hmm. that have had an impact on you in any way? Could be professionally or you know, it doesn't have to be a book that's linked to your professional life.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at it from a sporting point of view for myself.
Yeah.
But it's something that has huge effect for everybody is The Chimp Paradox by Professor Steve Peters.
Okay.
It's something
I've heard about that book. I've never read it.
Okay. It's effectively he breaks down the brain and humans and how they work. And inside of us, we have a computer that just does all of the basic effects. You got to put the kettle on, you do it without, you know, absentmindedly. It's something you just do. It's our computer, our database of everything that is a normal function for us. And then we have a chimp and we have a human. And the chimp is the crazy survival state who everything is a threat.
Yeah.
And the human is who we really are as a person. And it's the battle that is constantly going on in our heads. And it's like, if you understand what's going on in your body, you have a way of better being able to manage that by breathing and squeezing your ass and firing your glutes and so on. But he comes at the kind of work that we do from the brain point of view. And it's, I would recommend everybody to read it. Okay. Or listen to it as an audiobook. It's a fantastic read.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds, very, relatable.
Mm, yes. We all have an inner chimp.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So some are more wild than others. So final question for you, Stephen. What does the idea of balance mean to you or not?
It's kind of, we've just covered it, is you need to work, you need to make money, but you've got to look after yourself. You know, one of the big things that we talk about is, I think we spoke briefly about the five-pointed star and the circle and the letters. If you imagine a pentangle, imagine a five-pointed star with the letter Y in the middle of it. And I know it's cheesy, but go with it. You know, you are the star in your own world. You have to look after yourself first. You're only on this planet for a certain period of time, and you might as well make the most of it. Outside of the star is a very tight circle, and inside the circle, but outside the star, are the letters F and F, which is friends and family. And, you know, if you want to be there for your friends and family and help them, you've got to look after yourself first. And then outside of the tight circle is ATOF, the letters ATOF, which is obviously all the other folk. And if you're spending all your time looking after everybody else, then you just can't look after yourself. My balance for me is knowing that I'm outside, I'm making, you know, I'm cycling, I'm keeping fit and healthy, and knowing that I can't help anybody else if I'm not looking after me. So that's the massive thing, is being able to switch off, being better at switching off from the work.
Great, great. That is an original answer. Haven't heard that one before. Where did you get that from, the abbreviations? Where's that?
Well, that's something that's that Doug really enforces on people.
Okay, interesting.
It's amazing if you look at the why, the star, and you is your zone one, is your diaphragm. Okay. Is your diaphragm, your psoas and glutes. The right. Friends and family are your zone two, your quad, your hamstring, your abs and your lower back. And then zone three is everything else. And if all of a sudden you're using your zone three, your shin, your arm, your jaw or whatever, then you're not looking, your diaphragm can't work effectively because all the other tissues are locking down on you. And it's really cheesy, but it actually makes a lot of sense. It's from the body and from the philosophical point of view, it makes a lot of sense.
There was one thing that you said to me that I've never forgotten. You were talking about people in old age and how mm-hmm. they are stooped forward, as they get older.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said something like if they had all learned how to breathe correctly, their posture would be right and they wouldn't be stooping over.
Yeah, well, there are obviously some medical conditions and where that isn't, it's an absolute part of it. But if you think if somebody's stooping over and looking down, it's because they don't feel safe. They don't know where that next foot is going. They've lost disconnection to their lower body and they're making sure they don't want to trip over on anything.
Yeah.
Well, if they're in that position, the glutes aren't firing. The body isn't functioning the way that it should do. And it's, I think I've got one of the pictures on Instagram. One of the posts that I made was about a 90-year-old with a pacemaker who was really bent over double. He actually came to me because of back pain as well.
Right.
And we started working together. And even at that later stage in life, even if he does have another 20 years left, that later stage in life, just firing up the zone one, the breathing, the psoas and the glutes. The next photograph we stood, he was stood up straight. And he said, I haven't stood up like this for 25 years. But when you actually look into they're stooping over because they got a bad back. No, they're looking at the floor. They're trying to make sure they subconsciously or consciously, they don't trip on anything. Where is my next foot going? And if somebody at that age, say they're an arm driver, their left arm is driving down to help their right psoas and glutes, and their right arm is trying to drive down to help their left hip to function better, then both your arms are pulling you down towards the floor and you're bent over just trying to walk. Also looks a lot like depression as somebody's walking along like that.
Yeah, that's so true.
It is. So there's a lot of triggers running in people's bodies just to help them get through the day.
Well, when you told me that, sort of that terrified me. And so I've been doing deep breathing everywhere and anywhere since. Got chucked out of the cinema the other day. Mate, can you... Oi, Darth Vader in the front row. Please, give it a rest. But seriously, I've become a lot more conscious. Also, I'm that guy. I've become that guy in the gym. But rather than just being like, it's sort of like, very sort of deep inhale and exhales. Which is, it's a good thing ultimately.
It is, yeah. And it's not something where we don't have to sit there with a massive belly 24/7, but it's something your body needs to be able to do when you're in that stress. Couple of deep, proper deep belly breaths, and it helps relax the body. You need to, it's kind of your one rep max in the gym. When you're struggling, can you drop into it and just bring the body back down into a state of calm?
And I think that is a lovely note to wrap things up. Stephen, thanks so much. Where can people find out more about Be Activated and what you do?
Well, they can come onto my website, which is beactivatedUK.com. I've also got loads of posts on Instagram and Facebook as well, kind of before and afters of treating people and helping people to understand what's going on in their bodies a bit more. But they're welcome to go on there and drop me an email or a line if anybody's crazy enough to come in for a session and give it a try.
And I am one of those crazy peoples.
You are.
Yeah. And so, no, thank you. It's been really great working with you, and I appreciate you running through this today and explaining what you do in more detail. And I look forward to you prodding me next week.
Not at all. It's an absolute pleasure. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it. So I know you're a very popular guy. So thanks for making some space.
Yes, I did pay Stephen to say that. all right. Well, look, thanks so much. And I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Steve. Take care, mate.
Yeah, you too. Perfect.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.